Today on the Little Dum Dum Club, a brand new episode with guests Russell Howard, Harley Breen, Nick Kappa. We have got our live shows coming up at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, March 30, April 6, April 13, April 20. LittleDumDumClub.com for tickets to them, and of course the Kosamui International Podcast Festival, June 9 until 14.
That's correct, and on with the show, Tommy.
Let's do it. Russell Howard, Harley Breen, Nick Kappa. Welcome once again into the Little Dum Dum Club for another week. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dassel, and with me as always, the other half of the program, Carl Chandler.
G'day, dickhead.
Joining us today, we have three very special guests.
Jesus.
Please welcome back into the Little Dum Dum Club, Nick Kappa, Harley Breen, and Russell Howard.
Special guests.
Entirely different ways.
There's a lot of special in this room.
We're in Russell's lovely hotel room, which Nick Kappa must be blowing Nick Kappa's tiny little mind, because we were outside it and he was impressed by the hallway. So
yeah,
I heard laughter from the hallway. I thought they're here.
Yeah, to be honest though,
Kappa walked down. Kappa's like, "Oh, this is really nice." And you go, "What, a corridor?"
It is really nice.
What's
but
this
Harley's
weird
room nicer.
Room?
You know,
you reckon my room's
nicer?
Yeah,
you're nicer.
It's impractical.
Yeah, it's impractical, but you know. It's nice.
You were complaining about everything, and I was like, you know, and this is a really nice hotel and everything, but I was just trying to look at it through Kappa's eyes, because he was like, I'm looking at your bed, but he was just looking at your couch. He was like more realistic, like that's where I would obviously be sleeping if I stayed in this room.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I've been in some 5-star hotels lately.
In the kitchen.
I'm the face. the laundromat, but who cares? I was like, this is the nicest washing machine I've ever seen. You know? I had to jump up from the dirty laundry, you know, when you put yourself
in the
hamper.
Star Wars style, yeah.
No, I'm the Russell, if you don't know, I'm the face of dick pills in Australia.
Oh, yes!
So every now and then they fly me down, they put me in a 5-star hotel. And
to sell dick pills?
Yeah.
So what is it? Is that Viagra?
No, I think, I don't know.
You should know.
I don't know. Brother, I don't need to method act.
Do they just pay you cash?
He's the Daniel Day-Lewis of erections. My son!
My left foot, yeah, that's what we're talking about.
You drink from my hard cock, I drink from your hard cock.
Brand are they?
What are they? Explain yourself.
It's like a middleman deal, though, isn't it?
You're
not the face of the actual pill. You're the face of the provider, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're the fluffer.
It's like a subscription.
For what?
The dick pills.
What's the name?
Is that to make you like last longer, to come quicker?
I think there's a whole range.
There's a thing called retarded ejaculation. Where it takes too long, and it's an unfortunately named thing, but it's called retarded ejaculation.
That's what Kappa has, apart from the ejaculation.
That's how he was conceived.
Yeah. I was waiting for this. I was like, who's going to get in first? Yeah.
So what happened? So somebody saw you and went, that's our guy.
That's our guy, yeah.
This guy has never made anyone horny in his life.
Can we get vulgar? How much did they offer you and how did they sell the deal to you?
This is actually a great story.
We've covered this on an old episode. But
apologies.
Russell obviously heard it, because like me, he never misses an episode.
I'm the completist. Yeah.
It seems you've had some kind of amnesia, Russell, where you forgot about an entirely old episode.
Oh, I can't even remember. Tell me.
What happened was they're really nice guys, and they were like, oh, look, we're going to pay you this amount of money. And I was like, I don't know if I want to be the face of dick pills. And they'll be like, but what it's going to be is...
Dear Diary.
There's going to be... My artist.
Also, the idea of you knocking back anything is incredible, by the way.
Well, I don't know. Well, I don't know how much you're meant to charge for that kind of thing.
Yes.
Like, do they give you humiliation money or whatever? Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
if you're working for like a sports bet, or cigarettes or whatever, you charge 3 times more whatever it is.
Lots of money in dick pills.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, well, I don't know how much to charge. And then they go, well, look, this is the way the script is going to go, is there's going to be two guys erecting one tents cup. In front of their wives.
Right.
Your tent's going to be big and strong.
Yes,
and
you're like, fine,
meanwhile, there's going to be this other guy, this guy called Jeeves, who I know. He's kind of, I think he's an Indian guy. And they were like,
you think? I think he's I have my suspicions. Yeah.
I heard he's Indian.
Rumor is.
I heard my friend is Indian.
Oh, yeah. Well, I used to do comedy with him years ago. I hadn't seen him in about 10
years. Got to know him well then?
Yeah. I didn't ask the country. I only see personality.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's nice of you.
And then they said, well, he's going to be faffing about with his tent. Then you're going to give him the phone and go, hey, subscribe to Pilot. It's good.
It's a very Australian advert, isn't it? Because a typically Australian man can get an erection and an Indian can't. If we look at Indians, they're very good at making babies. Yeah. So surely that goes the other way.
And they're very horny online already.
So they invented the Kama Sutra.
Oh, yeah.
Were you excited about... So you're essentially the face of... guaranteed erections in this country.
Yeah, man. And I thought, oh, this is going to be great. And
you're the face of not needing the pill.
Yes.
You're the anti guy.
Yeah. It was exactly a year, like probably to this day, when they were offering it to me, and I was in Adelaide Fringe, and I talked to Tom Cashman about it. I'm like, well, you've been on TV. You know about deals and all that kind of stuff. What do you think of this, right? And he goes, oh, man, that's a decent amount of money, but, yeah, I don't know. What role do you play? And I'm like, I play the guy that has the hard dick, like the strong tent. And he's like, man, as if you wouldn't take that. Like, that's awesome.
You're not being humiliated.
And then we got on the beers. I said, yeah, my round. I'll take it. And my dick's paying for this.
So here's a question.
And then he's laughing about, like, wouldn't it be funny if they switched the script around at the last minute and stuff? Yeah, and I got
And you have to do an Indian accent. I got asked to do that once. I was auditioning for a Bollywood film for a TV show I did with my mum.
What?
And it was a room full of Indian people, and they were like, oh, that was good. Can you now do it in an Indian accent?
Uh-oh.
And I was like, no.
Absolutely not.
Why not? And I was like, oh. And it was just this unbelievable, you know, when a moment seems to go on for hours. And they were just staring at me, do the Indian accent. I just couldn't break.
At the very least, I'm going to need you to turn that camera off. So there's no evidence of me having attempted
this. But my mum said, just do it. And she was sort of shaking her
no.
head.
Mum was doing the head. So
if I'd have done it right, I could have been playing the role of a man whose penis didn't work next to you.
Yeah. They're like, you got to do it, Russell. You're already wearing the makeup.
Yeah.
Which we didn't ask for, but good job, brother.
Yeah, exactly.
What were you going to be doing in a Bollywood movie?
It was for some... I was going to be like someone in the background. It's for a TV show me and my mum were doing. And part of it was like getting in a Bollywood film.
Right.
And my mum was... We sort of shot this sort of film, Bollywood style film. And it was good fun.
Well, it's like Brett Lee became a Bollywood star after his cricket career. Yes. Went over and became...
Fast bowler.
Yeah. Became quite a big Bollywood sensation.
Yep. Presumably playing the role of Brett Lee in most stuff.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it was a Slumdog Millionaire too. How's that?
Man, I watched that fucking stumbly run up to that joke, and it went well.
Not technically a joke, but we all laughed, so I guess it is.
It would be sick to be in. Have you seen that film Triple R? Like being in one of those like old colonial movies and being like the evil white man would be such a fucking rad
sort of
role to play.
Plantation owner.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen that film. What happens?
It's good. There's just like evil white old Englishman. Like every white person in there is just like the most horrendously evil character you've ever seen.
And that's I watch true,
I'm like,
that's
a except in this one, it's Russ and his mum are both the evil.
Yeah.
Evil characters.
Yeah. I don't know if my mum could do evil. Like, I remember, you know that question, you know, when you go, well, what's your death row meal? I said to my mum, right, what's your death row meal? And she was thinking for ages, and she's like, what did I do? And you're like, it's just a fucking hypothetical. I don't know. You killed a pig with a hammer. And she was like, oh, I just have toast. like she took it so specifically. I don't deserve a meal after what I've done. She just doesn't have that.
Right. The other day, you're on the phone to her, and she, straight out of the gate, she goes, oh, I think I'd like that. And you're like, what, being a comedian? And she was like, yeah, I could give it a go. Yeah. If it meant I was in Australia, if it meant I was in that lovely hotel room.
Yeah. It's very exciting. You sort of forget how lucky you are. And then if you take a muggle with you on tour, you realise how exciting it is to be in a hotel. So I remember the first time me and my mum did this travel show, she was like, oh, my God, there's kettles.
There's a trouser press. There's fucking chocolates on my bed. Yeah.
Like
she'd really get along with Kappa. Yeah. Oh my God, there's a hallway. Oh,
there's a fire extinguisher.
There's a doorknob.
That would be a show, My Mum and You. Look, yeah. Oh my God, look, Kappa, we're going down a hallway and we're not sideways on. look at the girth on this corridor.
You want to know a thing or two about girth? Call back to you.
Yes. Mrs. Howard, come
all right,
in.
All right.
All right, mate.
No, I mean, come in, I'll show you the kettle.
Yeah. Is that what you call it? Yeah. it whistles when it's ready.
It boils hot.
Sorry, I took too many. I get them for free. I get them free.
So because the end of that was that you had the script switched on you when you got there.
Yeah,
you
I did.
You did have to be the flaccid dick guy on
camera. Yeah, I had to be the flaccid dick guy.
Have you had much blowback online since it's been on?
Pun intended.
No, it's so funny. It's so unfair because all my mates played rugby league and they all wanted to be big rugby league stars. And then they all just, you know, fell to the wayside. And they were like, oh, God, I'd love to play the State of Origin. That'd be my dream. Guess who got on the State of Origin? Right at the start.
What's the State of Origin?
Big rugby league game.
Big rugby league game. Wow. The biggest rugby league
biggest
game.
Biggest of the year.
Yeah, biggest. Yeah, probably one of the biggest sporting events in Australia.
Oh, wow.
And,
what were you doing there?
I was with the rugby league players, and I was trying to pump up a footy ball.
This is on the ad.
This is on the ad.
Oh, nice.
But they played it during the State of Origin.
Yeah, played it during the State of Origin. Everyone cheered for me. It was a beautiful moment.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal, yeah. And then I was like, sorry, boys, this one's not getting through the post. Yeah. And then they give me the phone, and then the ball's hard. Yeah, so it was...
So the Super Bowl have got Beyonce, but exactly. The NRL State of Origin have got you.
Yeah.
This paints a beautiful picture of Australia in relation to the rest of the world.
Please tell me, a bit like Janet Jackson, someone got your tit out. Just imagine that.
You got one ball out.
Got one ball out, yeah.
You got 100% of your balls out.
Well, you do an ad for flaccid dicks. I did an ad for denture glue. So,
oh, man,
you know,
that's awesome.
Is that better than yours?
Well, they treat you really well, ads. They're really nice. They fly up. I've stayed in rooms like this.
You've stayed in the nicest corridors in Australia.
Have you ever turned an ad down?
Me, no.
Anybody?
No.
No.
Yeah, I did once. I did, honestly. There was like a meat ad where you had to play
just
triplets.
Meat in general.
Yeah, just specific. Someone flog this meat. Yeah.
It's just a guy selling meat.
Yeah, it's very basic with you, isn't it? Yeah.
Meat in general. Yeah. Eat meat in general.
Yeah.
I wish when we were saying you're the face of dick pills, I wish that was like very literal. Like I wish they were like, you know, those Flintstones shaped vitamins. Like if the dick pill was just a little Nick Kappa.
Yes.
Just a little mini Nick
chewable.
Kappa that you're chewable.
A little chewable Nick Kappa.
Or Nick Kappa just have to pop it down your urethra. Yeah. Just like that. Get a little... Yeah. A little
like fantastic that. Voyage.
Yeah.
And it talks. It's got like a little chip in it.
Yeah,
when
oh, that'd be
oh,
great. A little
microchip.
Oh, here we go again. This is my worst bit of the job. And then when you have sex, this is my best bit. Yeah. Like that.
Your impression of me is weird.
As it goes in, now this is a corridor.
I've done impressions of you a lot because I feel like I should fess up.
Yeah.
I've never used it on TV, but I've told a lot of my father-in-law loves your joke. I think it's the best joke on alcohol beer, non-alcohol beer.
It's fucking, thanks, mate.
It's genius. Have you heard that gag?
Yeah, you try.
So this is it. So this is my Kappa.
Yes. He's physically doing Kappa.
Yeah,
this is great.
Yeah, he's doing the eyes.
So it's just that, and then non-alcohol beer, all the calories, none of the stories.
That's the joke. That
do you
is
think
the
what
joke.
You
does
did.
Exactly like that.
That is such
oh,
a good
by
joke.
By the way, you have that's not his joke. You've punched it up and made it better.
Yeah, yeah. Mine is, why would you want to get fatter and still be yourself? Yeah. But you did it way better.
Do it like
all
that.
Of the calories, none of the stories.
Yeah.
Fuck. There is a reason why you're doing bigger crowds. I've just come onto it now.
It's just that moment. Just that moment. Russell sells a bit of a new.
But it's such
if only you had your joke, you could be doing bigger crowds.
But it's your brain.
Yeah.
All right. I loved it.
Russ,
so,
you think the impression that you just did was okay and you wouldn't do the Indian voice in the audition? What you've just done is special face, I have to tell you.
Now that That is a show title.
Man, that is good. I like that.
His show this year is called Meat Oblong. So next year, Meat Oblong 2, Special Face.
Yes, that's good.
Man, that is, I will use that next year.
Special Face.
How's that?
Because I've been trying to write about it lately because I do have a divisive face. Like, there are people, and I'm not I never give people bad looks or anything, but there are people.
You don't look like you're
in
control of your face.
Yeah, they go. I go to the gym, and I've been going to, my wife and I have been going to this gym for like 9 months, and there are people we see like every day, and they are nice to everyone else, and then they just look at me and go, I can't be bothered with this guy. Yeah. Like, you know, like this, I don't know, I just can't be bothered with him. You know, he's too friendly and his face looks weird. You know what I mean? Like, weird. I don't, this guy just looks like trouble.
Right. You look like you wouldn't wear, you look like you'd wear cut-offs and denim. To the gym. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I've thought about it.
Big,
yeah.
And like sort of big boots, like working boots.
Yeah.
You do look like Fun Trouble, though. You look like Fun Trouble.
Yeah,
that's again, great
that.
Show. Special Face and Fun Trouble.
Special Face, Fun Trouble.
You're set for the next 2 years.
I'll take Fun Trouble.
You're wearing, like, no, they're not corduroys, are they? What are they? Chinos.
Golf. Yeah.
What you're wearing today is a very weird setup for a normal person, but quite normal for you. But you also look like the sort of guy that would wear exactly this outfit to the gym.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I was actually thinking about playing pickleball after this, and I didn't bring any of my sports.
Well, you look a bit like an old man's gone for a swim in a lake. And he's left all his clothes by the riverbank, and you've come along in your best, and you've gone, well, that'll do for me. Yeah. Like that. Because the shoes, the socks, like that.
Yeah. What are on the socks?
He looks like he's come from the future. He's unemployed Terminator, come back to make things even worse, and then gone, I need your shoes and your clothes. Because I didn't even have any in the future.
I need your shoes and the clothes. What are you going to do? I'm just going to have a wander about. Like that. It's just, and then they're keeping tabs on that robot. Where's he gone? Ah, fuck knows, man. He's doing, he's doing a show called Special.
Terminator's come back from the future just to play pickleball.
Yeah, and to do open mic.
Yeah. I like the look. Are you a pickleball player?
Yeah.
Fuck, it looks good. They call it padel in Europe.
Oh, that's a different game.
Is it?
Yeah, that's a different game. Yeah, that's got squash mixed in with tennis, basically.
It's
fucking wild. I want to play padel. Yeah, it looks insane. We'll go play it. I'm dressed for it.
Yeah.
You know, I got the...
I didn't think I was going to have a moment where I was witnessing you be knowledgeable about anything. Yes. But it's particularly surprising that it's about that very niche sport.
Oh, yeah, man. No, I don't know most people's names, or I forget my PIN number all the time. But, yeah, I can tell you so many niche facts. Yeah. Like, I can look at a boat and go, oh, yeah, I know that model. You know, I don't know why that information stays in there. Yeah. Or 90s
tractors.
Rock and roll. Yeah, tractors. Yeah. 8400, Russell, if you're in for a good secondhand John Deere tractor, go for the 8400. If you want the classic looking, go for the John Deere 4200.
Yes.
If you want to do more earth-moving stuff, then I would recommend like a Case IH or an International.
Yeah.
But they stopped making, like John Deere stopped making articulated tractors around the late 90s. Yeah. So, yeah.
Is this the kind of gym chat?
People are at the maybe it's not my face, actually.
Here comes trouble.
They're like, just want some Gatorade, cunt. Like that. No, I don't think you've got, I don't think, like Harley's right, it's Fun Trouble. I can't imagine anyone looks at you in the gym and they're like, I want to have a chat with him.
Yeah,
I think it's like the trouble is going to be just completely self-inflicted. You know what I mean?
Divisive.
It's like I look at this guy and I think he's going to get himself into trouble, but he's also going to land on his feet and bounce back.
When
you left your bank card in the ATM at the Koh Samui Airport mere minutes after landing.
Yes.
And then you used my phone to call the bank and the guy was saying, what's your PIN number? What's your password? What's any of your stuff? And you were like, I don't know any of it. And I heard the guy on the phone go, I'm just going to have to go check in with my manager about this. And then while you're on hold, you turned to me and pointed at the phone and went, fucking idiot.
Also,
terrific, though.
So he'd been overseas for 5 minutes, left the ATM card in the ATM, then just took off, and then when he found that out, did all that sort of stuff, and then tried to walk back to the airport. Now, look, Koh Samui is an island where the airport is quite close to everything, but no one should ever walk to an airport.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, and also, then the next day, is this the right timeline? Then the next day, met your now wife.
on that walk.
On the walk. she offered you a lift. You were like, this person can really provide for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Life partner.
Third show title, Forest Pump.
Yeah, Forest
Pump. And then it's where you're...
a tropical pump, you know what I mean? There's no forest.
I mean, then there's no link to forest. But
That's why you're where you are. That's why he's where he is.
World-class comedian working his ass off to help you out. No, I'm going to punch this down, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was like, why would he say forest?
I'm going to call the show Why I Met My Wife. Yeah.
Tropical pump. What?
Tropical pump. Because
I didn't get the forest thing at first.
That was fucking clear, mate.
Russell, you idiot. I wasn't in the forest. I was on the beach. Like, weren't you listening?
I was like, this worldwide superstar, he's kind of fucked up this time. And I'm going to let him know.
This is great. We're facing these two. We ask Russell, where do you get your ideas? We ask Capo, where do you get your lack of ideas?
This is a great interview show format, isn't it? You get someone great on and then you get someone like lower status and you just kind of compare them off
against each
other. Yeah.
But that brand, it's like that non-alcohol beer, that's fucking brilliant.
Thanks,
but it's
man.
Like you're just not quite in control of the... You know when you see someone like, are they drink driving or are they not?
Yeah.
That's what's happening with you.
It's I always think guys like Kappa, it's a bit like you've got the drag racing. You can, this vehicle's about to do 250K. Pity we didn't have a steering wheel on it.
Mike really hated me the other night.
Mike Goldstein.
Yeah, Mike Goldstein, because I did this bit and I put it on the internet where I just do a character called Pizza Doggy.
Yes.
And that's where I just go... Give me that pizza. Who wants a pizza?
The character's a big
and I just was doing, I was just it. Doing because I was like bombing and I was like,
you're doing it on stage.
Yeah, I was just doing it on stage.
Brilliant.
Yeah, wait, you think that was going to help?
Doing
you
not brilliant.
Mate, I'm bombing. I know what'll help. I'll pant into the microphone.
Even before Pizza Doggy, were bombing.
Yeah. And for some reason, it went good. It was, and
I better pull out the small guns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I got one parachute here.
Time to bring a knife to a gunfight.
I got one parachute here, and it's a lead weight. And but somehow it went good. And Mike's like, "What the fuck was that?" Like that was. Anyway, I was like, "I'm going to see if we did a trial show in Bendigo," and it's like, Mike went out, got lunch. He got dinner. Sorry, he got dinner, and he walks in, and just as he walks in, I'm like. All right, guys, this worked before. I'm going to try it out again, Pizza Doggy. And then he has to go, give me that pizza, right? And for some reason, it went good again. And as soon as I walked off stage, Mike's like, fucking Pizza Doggy. He goes, I write bits, and that bit goes good. What the fuck? Why even try?
I can't wait for you to get home, Russ, and see what your father-in-law thinks of Pizza Doggy.
I can't wait for you to punch up Pizza Doggy.
Yeah. And actually write a joke for it.
Pizza poodle.
Where did it come from? Where did the idea for pretending to be a dog that wanted carbs when you were in? Well, I just love the fact that you're struggling on stage and your brain's like, Nick, I've got it, and then to pretend to be some sort of hound that needs Italian food, and it got you away.
When you were bombing,
but there will come a time because you got so much faith in that bit, which let's be honest, is so beautifully fair weather. but it's so funny.
Another
it's
title.
Funny.
Another title.
Yeah,
beautifully fair weather.
But the reason why it's so funny is because it's in that beautiful Will Ferrell you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like for Will Ferrell's SNL audition, he pretended to be a kitten playing with a piece of wool.
I've seen the footage.
But
it's quite funny.
But the point is,
I mean, it's no Pizza Doggy, but it is.
Yeah, you're right, because it's funny.
Pizza Doggy is going to work and work and work, and then and you're always like, oh my God, I don't know why it works. As soon as you get confident, that will let you down so hard.
Oh, yeah, man.
Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Because it'll become too much. You'll have like a collar on. You're fucking like backstage doing all that.
Or you're running to an audience that's like, not demented.
your father-in-law will be in the audience and he'll go, nah, it's not as good as when Russell did it.
No.
You know, he Russell put a bit more panting. and he called it Pizza Hound.
Yeah. So when you sort of write stuff, do you write stuff down or is it just...
I do write stuff down. Yeah, I do. I've been trying to write stuff down, but I find that you just got to do the work. Then you get nothing from that But when you leave the work, then you're in the shower and you go, oh, yeah, pizza doggy.
This is like the footage you see of the police interviewing serial killers. It's like, I don't know if I want to see. I don't know if I want to get into this mind. I don't know if I want to start to see the justification.
Yeah, once you go in.
Or it's someone with amnesia and you're sort of just trying to go, like, where have you been? Have you been in a cult?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Have you killed a man?
Yeah.
Did you build your own raft?
Yeah.
Are you a billionaire? You a tech billionaire? And you don't know.
it's the Notebook. You remember me?
Yeah.
I'm comedy.
Yeah. I'd believe you if you told me that Nick Capa was a tech billionaire.
That's what I mean.
Like, if you look at him right now, you're like, yeah, that would check out.
Uh-huh. I'm trying to dress more comfortably. Like, relaxed.
Well, you haven't achieved that.
Yeah.
Like,
it is.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable looking at you.
Yeah.
So, if we found out that Cap has been on like a 10-year season of Undercover Boss,
and this is
like the CEO of Rio Tinto,
that would be
and
good.
He's just been pretending to do comedy that for 10 years.
I'm actually Dave Chappelle. I pull the mask off. Fuck. It was him the whole time. Yeah.
Let's say Kappa
fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
If Russ wanted to purchase no alc beer off you, what kind of price are we talking? I just want to see what a Kappa routine.
He already owns a better version of
what a Kappa routine goes for.
Oh, $0. being in this hotel room, walking down that corridor, that's enough. Yeah.
I can tell how
maybe
you
a nice
afforded
corridor
your socks.
Walk. Yeah.
That kind of negotiation.
Yeah, no, totally. And that's the thing I worry about with your dick pill negotiation. Did you end up getting a good fee? Like,
did they just pay you in pills?
Yeah, yes. Yes.
Well, that reminds me, who would like to buy some? Because I got 8 storage sheds of them. No, they paid me very well, and then they're the nicest guys ever. They kept, because when, you know, you guys have all negotiated with people or whatever, and you go, oh, look, guys, this is a decent amount of money, but it's probably not enough. However, if you help me out, you know, if you give me more work, then we'll be cool, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And usually they're like, ha, we'll just get this sucker and we'll leave him.
Yeah.
But then those guys kept giving me more work and
great.
They were awesome. You know,
yeah,
so
great.
They actually lived up to the, they said, no, man, you've helped us out. We're going to help you out. So they really helped me out. It was really cool.
So you're still on contract with the Dick Pill guys?
No, they just get me back whenever they need it. But they were like, man, it's so funny. They talked about it was like the MCU trilogy. They're like, look, we had the tent. Then you were pumping up the footy. Now your dick's a limp hose. This is going to wrap up the Kappa trilogy.
So you're like Christopher Nolan.
It's like Endgame.
You've got to have seen all the ads to really get what's going on with the hose.
They're like, Kappa's finest work was the tent.
It's Kappa's godfather.
Wow. Yeah.
Fucking Cap, man.
Yeah.
I love that. So, is there part of you sort of hoping that there's some sort of pandemic that affects penises?
Yes.
Because then you'll be so rich.
Do you know
what I mean? If people can't get erections,
you're
going to be the richest man in
Kappa will be an essential worker. People going onto their balconies to applaud for Kappa's dick pills every night.
Well, ironically, it's actually going to a Kappa show.
Yeah.
You can't get an erection. And then he's really cornered the market. Afterwards, he'll sell you the pill.
Well, apparently, after the first couple of ads, the subscribers did go through the roof. So that's why they kept getting me back.
Because they all had taken a pill.
They were like, fuck, that guy is me. I thought I couldn't relate to anybody. But yeah, no, I was. It went from me going, oh, I don't know if I want to do a dick pills ad to like, I'll really miss this. They're the nicest bunch of guys, and you get to stay in a sick hotel, and it's so fun. The shoots are so fun, but you never get in depth about it. But the other day, I was like, I was talking to my mum about it, and she's like, oh, it's...
what does your mum sound like?
She's like, oh, Nicholas, it's so good.
It's so
nice that you're
so
doing
great,
this. Yeah. Do you find it's hard to act, you know, do that
like,
that thing?
Oh,
and I'm
I love
like,
that.
Oh, look, Mum, I don't want
to... Hang on. She says, do you find it hard to do that thing? Because she's so proud. Like, you know, mums always go, oh, I've got the best looking boy. So does she go, oh, my boy's got the hardest dick. You must be pretend. Is it hard to pretend your dick is soft?
Because I remember when you were young, you were at school, it was always hard. And the teacher was like, come on.
I'd have to come and pick you up early because you're your big dick.
No? Yeah, you're always the hardest in the class.
Yeah.
I didn't give you a packed lunch. I just put ice
the
in a box.
Your sheets were filthy every morning.
I was on the old tractor and it had no seat and it just vibrated. And that was the first time.
Jesus Christ.
accidentally.
That one sounded like an admission.
Yeah. You don't make that stuff up.
Whenever I braked hard, your dick would hit the steering wheel. The horn would go off.
But I was talking to her about it, and I was like, you know, look, it's good work. You get paid.
But she's asking you about the method acting.
Yeah.
So wonderful. Yeah. Well, you missed that role, Nick.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, man. No, it was funny. I was like, you know, but it's easy work. They pay you all that money just for one day on
that's
set.
It's not easy. You're a talented actor.
If I was on an ad for dick pills, I think I would never tell my parents about it. I'd go around there and disconnect their TV so they could never see it. Yeah. I would never bring this up.
But the last time I was on this show, your dad went to a sex shop to get you a sex doll.
For a joke present for a friend's birthday.
Yeah, but that's... I would say what he did, he was playing the role of a pervert, you actually were one.
Yeah, that's fair.
Under the guidance of your father.
No, that's just a guy with a soft dick. That's the opposite to a pervert.
I know you think you weren't playing the role of a pervert.
It's funny because my Nana does.
You're not... You're
your
just
Nana.
Not,
hang on. Here we go, hang on. Everyone shut the fuck up.
Nan's getting involved. Something's reminded him about his Nan.
Yeah.
As soon as you said pervert, that reminds me of Nana.
Speaking of sex doll.
So I said to Nana, get out of the bushes.
You know you want to go to Dignitas? Well, I've got a way of killing you easier. Just watch this advert.
I don't think she knows what it's about or her friends at the bowling club or whatever. Yes.
So she thinks you played it in that game.
She thinks... that you are a tent salesman.
Yes. Yeah.
Something like that. Because she goes, Nick, I couldn't sleep the other night. I turned on the TV. There you were, right there. And it's a sign. And she goes, I fell asleep immediately. You know, it was so good.
What?
Like, yeah, she has all these. I've been in a couple of ads, and she's
so
like,
fucked up.
I was in a 7-Eleven ad once, and she goes, Nicholas, the other night, I was lonely. I was depressed.
Jesus.
I put the TV on, and there you were in the 7-Eleven. You know, like she just like.
And she went back to bed.
Yeah.
But there's something that it's that amazing. So she's so happy and then instantly asleep.
Yeah.
There's something beautiful about that. She just needed you. You're like her guardian angel.
It's like a lot of people in the audience of your stand-up shows. They see you and immediately go to sleep.
Oh, they're awake. Don't worry. I don't know if they're having a good time, but they're definitely awake.
Hey, we interrupt this broadcast to let you know about something. Hey, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago on the podcast in Talking Dum Dum, actually, about how you have the opportunity to sponsor the Koh Samui International Podcast Festival. Now, it's not open to huge corporations unless they want to, but it is aimed at you guys, the listeners, small business owners for $1,000. That's all, $1,000, you can be the sponsor of the Koh Samui International Podcast Festival on all the printed materials, on the banners at the live shows, and we talk about you for the next 3 months.
Yeah, and as you can hear, we really need the money because we're recording this over the phone. We've had to sell our microphones to afford our airfares over to Koh Samui. So we promise if you sponsor us, you will get your advert recorded in higher audio quality than this. That is a guarantee that we are offering you.
We will be able to afford to be in the same room instead of on different continents.
Yeah.
I
will not be doing the ad for your business while I'm at Universal Studios in Osaka, as I currently am right now. I promise you that. I will not be in a theme park doing an ad for you, looking at the Minion roller coaster while I talk about your business.
How much would it cost for you to do that, though? Just in case anyone wants that to happen, actually.
I need the airfare and the ticket to the theme park covered, and then I'm happy to come and do the ad here for you. If you cover those costs plus the $1,000, then I'll do it.
That's a different tier. So it's $1,000 for normal people. If you want Tommy to do each ad in Universal Studios in Japan, that's $3,000 probably. Yeah, sweet. Yeah. All right. We've got that worked out. Great. That's good to muddy the issue. But for $1,000 for everyone else that just wants a normal ad, that's what it is. Hit us up. We've had plenty, since we've talked about it, we've had plenty of people that have hit us up. And look, a lot of this is we want sort of an amusing sponsorship. And we have had a couple of crackers so far. So this is basically your last chance to put in. We want to talk about it next week on the show. So if you're listening to this...
Yep.
And this sounds like it's for you. You've got a grand, and you're going to get the money back once we sick our listeners onto your business. Look, you'll probably even double your money. Whoop-dee-doo.
And now, back to the show.
I love a mystical nan. My just after we got engaged, my
mystical nan is another good title.
Yeah. Mystical nan.
My fiance called her nan to say we'd gotten engaged, and she said, "Oh, that's wonderful. The angels answered my call." Wow. She's taken all the credit. She's like, "I've been praying for this extra hard lately, and look,
it was
the
all
angels.
Her.
The yeah. angels intervened." Yeah. It's like. So I have no free will in this, do I? I'm just a puppet for
and
the
also,
angels.
Yeah, no one was going to propose to your missus until the angels had to get involved. Who would have asked her?
Yeah, I didn't even get down on one knee. I just fell over. Yeah, it was like a gust of wind.
Yeah, what angels bring you down from heaven? You know, I thought it'd be some fucked pterodactyl.
Buck Pterodactyl, another good show title. Yeah, we're cooking up a lot here.
Yeah,
what a great writer's room.
Yeah, yeah, this is good, yeah. Do you need any...
You'd have to spell pterodactyl as well when you sort of call them up. That'd be difficult.
Oh, yeah. Man. Pterodactyl is a funny word. I'm going to have to integrate that.
There's one. Yeah. That's another show title. Yeah. Yeah,
the sequel.
What about Pizza Pterodactyl? Yeah.
Pizza Pterodactyl.
Oh, hello. Yeah. And suddenly...
Okay. What's your show called on this tour?
Live.
Live.
Yeah. Oh. I was going to call it. It's it was either that or Lucky Jizz, but but I can't.
See, that's where you went the other way from Kappa. Yeah, that would have been Kappa.
But there's a bit in the show. I'm shooting the special in April. You know, when I always come to my titles quite late, so the last one was called Lubricant.
Lubricant. Yeah. See, that's pretty daring.
Yeah,
that's risque, Russell.
Laughter is the lubricant that makes life livable. It came from that line.
So oh man, it's so good. I was reading the Adelaide Fringe Guide. I don't know if you read it, but
I didn't even know.
Can you tell us the explanation? We've heard Russell.
Mm.
Now give us the explanation behind your show title, Nick Kappa, Meat Oblong.
Well, I was talking to my
How
manager
did you spell
guy,
meat?
And he's like, man, we need a title. You've put this off for way too long. There's the deadline closes in like an hour. What are you going to get? And I was like, oh, meat's pretty funny. Why don't we do something with meat? Like,
oh, yeah, the amount of times I'm at the butcher's and I am giggling. Like, I'm like, look at that steak. That's like a Kappa joke.
Man, it's a party in there. There's soaring stuff.
I would have said,
there's blood.
I would have been looking at the offal thinking that's more like a Kappa joke.
Wait, we didn't get into... You were saying the ad you turned down? Was it for meat?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah,
why?
Sorry.
Let's get so back you turned down the meat ad. Funny. And then as you're registering your show, you're like, meat's funny.
Yeah,
I'll call my show this.
Oh, no, you had to play triplets. And so...
And you couldn't find your siblings?
I couldn't clone myself in time.
Yeah. It brought back your schizophrenia, and you're like, listen, I've taken a lot of steps to get away from those two.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Also, the two other guys said I shouldn't do it.
Yeah, think about that as a casting decision. We need two more Kappas. Fucking hell.
So, wait, you turned it down, what, because they... What,
because
what?
Pyro Nick and Nasty Nick said no.
I like
got
you
stuff
make...
to do, cunt.
I like the idea that when you make these decisions, you've got like the angel and the devil on your shoulder, like in the cartoons, except one of them's like got his tent up and the other one like can't get his tent up.
I said, look, I'll only be in a human centipede with strangers, not myself. You know?
So what,
I won't
eat
my own ass.
So why did you say no?
Wait, you had to eat your own ass in a meat ad?
Yeah, it was a vegan
ad. What are they selling?
Like, this is what happens if you have a burger.
You're eating ass.
You're just
every
eating
time
up.
You eat a burger, think of Kappa's ass.
This guy's been on meat for 6 years.
It's a meat ad. It's like, why be vegan? You might as well eat shit.
Yeah. So wait, they were going to have were they going to just like digitally... Like duplicate?
Yeah, so
like,
it was
going to
be like, they were going to have like the guy that eats meat, the brother that eats meat, and he's quite fit and healthy, and then they had the vegan brother that's like all sick and low on energy.
Yeah.
And then they had the one that eats both, and that's kind of like the fitter one.
Right.
And I was like, I'm not going to do it. Like, this is 2010.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? What? Yeah. Who is writing this ad where you have a sickly vegan?
Right.
You know, it's just, it was so dumb. Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
That's
turned it down.
Yeah, how much money did you have to turn
I think
back
it was,
for the sake
no,
of...
No, but I still had to audition for it. You know what I mean? I said no to audition.
Oh, so you just
so
didn't
you
audition. Did,
you didn't knock back this job after all.
I'd knock back a McDonald's ad as well.
I've done that.
Yeah, yeah.
I knocked back
$5,000. Yeah.
Oh, mine was $150,000. The truth.
Yeah.
And in that one, I walked out on the audition, but I've knocked back probably 4 or 5 gambling ads that were offers, and I went, oh, come
on. I like the idea that that's you. It was the same role, $150,000, and you said no. And they offered it to him for $5,000. It's like, yeah, well, that's Kappa representing himself right there in the negotiation.
I was offered a Head and Shoulders advert. Do you know those?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the shampoo ad. I was offered that.
How much?
Yeah, a lot of money.
I bet it was.
Yeah, chaos. And I sort of said no. Because it would, and they gave it to Joe Hart, the then England international goalkeeper.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because you love dandruff that much, you
But it would
refuse.
Have been like the whole advert. I think it was based around, before I do a comedy show, I make sure that I wash my hair. And it was just me.
It wasn't even funny.
Like this lifestyle thing of them, me sort of doing all this. And, I was like,
and you were just thinking of what?
Well, I just know, it doesn't matter how much money it was, for the next 10 years, Head and Shoulders just fucking slung at me at gigs and stuff like that.
I was going to say, I reckon you were just thinking of you walking into every green room from
every
then
green
on.
Room, every comedy club, not just audiences. You'd instantly...
Heaven forbid the Paps get a shot of you with a little bit of like dust or shoulder. Yeah. Like, Dandruff boy's done it again.
Yeah, fucking right. But my also, the weirdest, I got offered, this is fucking insane, I got offered £20,000 to tweet happy birthday to Heathrow Airport. And I didn't do it because it's you know, an airport.
And it wouldn't reply back. Wouldn't get recognition back.
Yeah, but obviously it just seems an odd thing to do.
You've heard some whispers in green rooms about the Heathrow Airport. Why
is Heathrow Airport such a big fan that they needed that happy birthday from you?
But what's interesting is that subsequently the celebrities that did wish Heathrow Airport happy birthday. Gordon Ramsay did. I think.
And so you knew they were all getting a payday for
fucking
those
right.
tweets.
Yeah, yeah. And I was just, all of my comic friends were like, I'm like, yeah, correct, absolutely, yeah. As if they, and all of my family were like, my cousin Lewis, you fucking brain dead cunt, $20,000, I'd have fucked it.
I must
10?
Admit I'm thinking this
right
now.
Yeah.
So am I, to be fair. Yeah. I'd have fucking done it.
Tweet to an inanimate object.
But that's the thing, it's so weird. I tried doing stand-up about this, about kind of how silly it was to tweet happy birthday to an airport, and you sort of have to mention the amount of money, but as soon as you do, the audience are like, you're a fucking idiot.
You're a fucking
moron. And then you realise, actually, maybe.
But also that, like, so that's obviously part of the advertising budget. We'll give you $20,000, you say happy birthday, Heathrow Airport, and then what's the end game there? Someone sees that tweet and goes, yeah, you know what? Yeah. I should go to that airport.
To make it feel good, because it's
his
birthday.
Because how much competition is there with Heathrow?
That's it. Yeah, well, exactly.
You've either got to go there or you don't.
Yeah. Or don't you have Stansted or Gatwick?
Yeah, but it depends where you're flying to. Yeah.
I don't know. Don't ask me how I remember that. I went to that hotel.
Heathrow's the main one, but it's... Yeah, exactly. So it's like advertising Google or something like that.
I'm not choosing between Tullamarine and Avalon, because I'm like, oh, who's got the best food court?
Yeah,
you know, I'd tweet happy birthday Avalon for $50.
I might do it for free.
But it's not like, if you were selecting the food court, that's fair enough. If I was going, hey, the Heathrow food court is great, because at least that's a thing.
Yeah.
But if you're, it's basically selecting on, oh no, it's 62, and oh, it's an old man. versus that fucking whippersnapper Stansted. She's 36. Yeah. Fucking sort her own life out. Do you know what I mean? It's so weird. But my brain was like, as soon as you do something like that, if you're kind of relatively successful, it's like everything's suspect, everything's for sale. Do you know what I mean?
That does rule that there's someone whose job it is to sit in a room and be like, oh, the airport's birthday's coming up.
Mate.
Yeah. We'd better start to get our plans in line. That's the world's best job.
The fucking money in the world, eh? It's fucking bananas. They're just flinging, they probably threw $1 million a few celebrities to say happy birthday to an inanimate object.
And then all turn up, happy birthday.
I got to get a flight on this day and see what's going on.
I love it that there was a bunch of executives that made that decision. They're like, all right, we are not leaving this room till we come up an idea to get more publicity for fucking Heathrow Airport.
The celebration when they found out Gordon Ramsay was on board. Yes, we got Ramsay. Was this even like a big milestone birthday, or it was just literally like,
I don't know.
It wasn't like 100 years or anything. It was just like...
It must have been, but just so
they
weird.
They just do this every year.
I reckon that's the thing. That's the thing where, lower to mid-tier comedians would then go, I wouldn't mind doing this. I'd put out a tweet, happy birthday, Heathrow Airport,
yeah,
and then have everyone else go, fuck, Chandler got 20 grand for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, well, that was it. Well, I remember getting offered a Nando's black card, which means you don't, you don't have to pay
for
it.
Oh, you're going to make him so sad with what you're...
So, oh, no.
Yeah, so I was like, nah, I'm all right, I can afford chicken. But I'll tell you...
The Nando's people were like, I'll tell you what Russell's Achilles heel is. Yeah. He can't afford chicken. Yeah,
yeah. But I said, my brother can't afford chicken, so can I give it to my brother? And they were like, no,
yeah,
you can't. But what doesn't I do like do, that. So my brother, and he'll love this, he's, whenever we stay in a Marriott hotel, my brother has a Marriott gold card because we give all the points from the hotels onto his card. So he now gets free hotels whenever he stays. So he'll come and stay down, literally, if we're in Portsmouth for like 6 nights, my room, Andrew Bird's room, Kumar's room. So three lots of like, that's like 9 rooms. He just rocks up to Portsmouth, bling, 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 gets all the points, fucking loves it.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
That's great.
And then strolls around the buffet like the fucking king.
When you go to Nando's and you get your chicken, can I come along with my card and get ding, 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 and get all the points off your...
Absolutely.
Get the chicken off your chocolate
mousse. And also, is there a buffet at this place?
There is a buffet downstairs. Yeah, fucking right. I'll get you some croissants.
Oh, great, man. All right.
This is
worth it.
With those pensioner socks, they've got some give in them, so we could definitely get some pastries down there.
First the corridor and now the croissant.
I'm first, living the life.
Yeah, yeah. First the hallway, now bread. What a day.
That's great though, your brother just like, yeah, spawning around. Because anytime you stay somewhere nice, like there always is someone just like... You'll always see someone in the hotel where you're like, what's this person's story? You know, there's like, you see the clientele and then you just see like one person just like, I don't know what this person's
doing. And also, like being that, you know, you're very famous. And so it's always interesting to have the sibling of a famous person and to see whether it's affected him in a good or a bad way.
Yeah.
So if he's had anything negative, fuck that, he's got those Marriott points. Oh, this has turned out all right.
Oh, he fucking loves it. But I like bringing my brother to like showbiz parties because it's just... He's
a properly funny man.
Yeah, his
brother. He's like, great. You know, funny bones, kind of.
Oh, great.
But, like, you'd love him. In fact, you'll probably go to a football game with him at some stage.
In fact, I reckon Daniel and Kappa would be best mates.
Fucking right.
They would fucking really get along.
So my favourite story about my brother, but this typifies how he's too much for some. Three of my aunties were in, I told Harley the other day, so three of my aunties were walking through Bath. It was like 10 in the morning. I'm with my brother. They haven't seen us. They're probably 60 to 70. They're all under 5 foot. They're tiny, sweet, little owly-eyed ladies. And my brother just walks up to them and just goes, you girls out on the dick. Like that. And the look of, like, they were all, their faces were so like, why would you? horrible little pointless. Like,
that's good. Nasty.
And he just, like, just snorted and walked past them. And just, that was it. And then I kind of, as I always have, I'm just in his way, go, all right, Sue, all right, Sandra, all right, Zena, like that.
And like, why is he being like that?
I don't know. Like, but you girls out on the dick, their eyes were so, so hurt. But, do you know what I mean? It was so unnecessary.
Yeah.
But it was somehow the purest thing to say. That's what he does. It just, he's not for everybody, but
for me. Oh, he's so for me.
Well, on my stag do, so Harley was on my stag, and my friend nearly died from it, a 50-year-old American, and me and my brother were having a punch-up in a car park.
What?
A punch-up in a car park in front of a karaoke bar in Vegas. It was like proper, straight out of a movie.
Yeah, horrible. And that, like, Harley's like 6'4", pictures there, he's 6'4". Me and my brother are like 5'8", like properly like, Connie, you fucking cunt. Like, really going at each other. Yeah. And they're all just sat around going, oh, they'll tire each other out. Just nobody gave a... You know when you're just like two little blokes and you're like, well, they might have a fight, there's not going to be any damage.
Which one are you going to hold up by the back of the neck? Yeah.
It's like two hamsters in a china shop or something like that. I'll just let them go.
We were going at each other.
Not to mention that your security guard mate that was there that made me and Pitcher look as the size of you and your brother. Yeah, and Pete. All of us are like, nah, look, it'll be fine.
Big Pete. My favourite with Daniel, we were in Thailand.
Oh, have you heard of it, Carl? Hey.
Must be nice. Yeah.
So we were, and he, his appendix.
I think I saw you. But
his appendix burst, and we, so he had to go to a hospital, have it sorted, and then he was in a wheelchair, and he was in this wheelchair, and we were kind of going up, as you do in an elevator, and he was pretending to be heavily disabled, like to all the other people. He thought that would be hilarious, and he was like, really like shaking, dribbling the works. And I was fucking steaming, but just couldn't do anything. So these people are looking at me, and I was like, right, like, you know, sort of, because I'm his carer. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, so I'm like,
can't hit him in public.
He's having it. Well, this is it, right? So we get out of the hotel, and I fucking punched him in the face. But there was somebody outside the elevator, and they had not seen what had happened in the elevator. Right. All they'd seen is a bloke they recognised off British TV hit a man in a wheelchair and say, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" It's like this awful thing of like, right? Like,
and Heathrow Airport paid him $20,000 for that.
Yeah, my brother's really quiet, like the quietest guy ever.
But really?
Every now and then he says stuff that just levels the place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I remember years ago we were on the farm and we were cotton chipping. It's where you get weeds out of the cotton. We're walking along, big group of friends. And my brother, you know, he said two words all day. And he disappeared and he came back and we're all eating lunch. And we're like, "Where'd you go?" And he goes, "Went to take a shit, but it didn't work, so I just came back."
It didn't work.
It didn't work.
It didn't work. It's meaning his asshole.
It didn't work. So I just came back. Just, if you did the shit, were you just going to run away after that?
Alternatively, I went to do a shit. It worked. Now I'm back.
It didn't work. I tried. I gave it my best. It didn't work.
Is he older or younger?
Younger. 2 years younger.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, but
are you the eldest?
Sorry? Yeah, I'm the eldest. Yeah, so it's crazy. I got a younger sister as well, and yeah, they both had no role models to look up to, so you know, it doesn't matter.
You're basically the same as Russell. He also has a younger brother and a younger sister.
Yeah.
You're the Australian Russell.
Yeah.
I'm the English Kappa.
English Kappa is a great title for the special.
Yeah.
It's going on everyone's heads.
Yeah, man, you don't have to, like,
when you get Parkinson's, no one's going to know. Like, you're fucked. Yeah. Like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone in the room, for people at home, everyone's doing the Kappa sway at the moment. The wobble.
Yeah, but I sway. I don't shudder. You know what I mean? It's a beautiful sway.
It is.
It looks, when you're on, yeah, it's this sway. It looks like when you're on stage, you think you're about to be fired upon. It looks like you're ready to dodge a bullet.
Yeah. You should do cruise ships because you've already got the, like,
yeah, the sea legs.
You'd be still on a cruise ship.
You've got sea legs on land.
Yeah, imagine that. Yeah.
I'll be the people who booked the cruise is coming, like, this guy's got what it takes.
Yeah.
I'll be like Kevin Costner in Waterworld. I'm like, I don't like the way it moves, you know, the ship.
Who the fuck knows a quote from Waterworld? That is
the biggest flop of all time.
Yeah. It's like he said, he knows these things. He's got that fact, but he doesn't know the name of his dad.
He said his wife's name wrong in his wedding vows. Yes. But he knows.
Did you?
No, that was a celebrant's fault.
The person who met her that day should know her name.
Please explain why you saying your wife's name wrong was the celebrant's fault.
Well, the celebrant, we sent her the vows, and then she got them printed on these card things, right? And then so we didn't know what vows we were going to say, and so she gives us the cards. And then she goes, "I take Caitlin Marie."
Take the pizza, like, doggy.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me that pizza.
give me that wife.
Give me that wife. Is that a wife over there?
Wife doggy. Give me that wife.
Yeah. But she said Marie, and I'm like,
"So you're supposed to repeat after her?"
Marie?
Yeah.
So did you look at your wife for confirmation?
Yeah, I kind of looked at my wife like, "Marie." And then
we all went, "What?
What?" And then I was just like, "Who's Marie?"
It's the first time I've ever heard an audible question mark in the middle of someone's wedding vows.
She was really nice to celebrate. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. It was such a mistake. But I think things like that, if you've got a cool wedding, people just so it makes the wedding better.
Fuck yeah.
If you got to fuck up like that.
My dog gipped at mine.
Sorry?
So, you know the phrase gipping when it...
No.
Fuck, I don't want
to... So, it's like if you're like
she got
belching.
Gipped last night.
No, yeah, but like, so...
Was that your Russell Howard impression?
Was that?
Oh, my God. Yeah. She eloquently got gipped last night.
Yeah.
We're down by the little lake. And,
I don't know how to act eloquently, so I'll just say the word
eloquent.
He even stopped swaying for 1 second to do this impression.
He's reading out the stage directions in his impression.
I rested my old egg on the wagon, went down and we did
a gipping. My old egg? This is classic Russ, I reckon.
Yeah. I'm going to do that tonight.
Please.
I rested my old egg on the wagon.
Then we gipped.
Forgive me, Adelaide. I've been up gipping and my old wagon rested head.
I've had a weird day. You guys wouldn't believe me if I told you.
So what is gipping? What is gipping?
Yeah. So it's like...
A little...
You're just about to be sick.
A fake vomit.
Is that...
So
yeah, we were getting married.
Dry reaching.
Yeah, exactly reaching. That. And we were just as I was putting the ring on my wife's finger, my dog went... It was spectacular timing.
Right. In a room full of comedians.
I went, all right, come on. Yeah. And then my brother was my best man and his speech was magnificent and... All my comic friends were just rinsing him as he was trying to. It was great.
Including your father.
My dad heckled my brother, and my brother told my dad to fuck off. Right, like, fuck off, Dave. Like that. And then, you know, yeah, it was great, man. It was such a good day.
Dog at the wedding. I love that.
Yeah, he was our page boy, I think.
Oh, yeah. We'll be doing that, I reckon.
He was all dressed up, man. It was brilliant. It was such a good day, man. It's it was... Well, I was talking to Harley the other day about it. It's a fun day, and you sort of, it's so rare that you're in a room and you know that everyone loves you. Do you know what I mean? It's fucking weird, and you just suddenly go, "Oh, actually, I'm all right."
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You normally have that kind of imposter syndrome in any place, and then you're like, "No, everyone likes me."
I think it's also too as you get older, like organizing things with friends. People have various reasons why they can't come, but it's like the wedding turns into the fun thing of like. Well, everyone's going to this. Everyone who's invited, like everyone in your group of mates, like shows up. It becomes like one of the only things where you can guarantee, like, all of your friends are in the one room. Yes. No one's like, I got something else on.
Who's your
best
man?
Might come later.
Who's your best man, Tommy?
I don't know.
Well, you haven't chosen yet.
Yeah. I don't
Surely.
Know.
Are there auditions?
Surely.
I've been a best man a lot.
Have you?
Yeah, I'm good at it.
Forget that pterodactyl comment. You know, angels did bring you down.
No. No, but we were saying this the other week about, you know, emceeing. The big one is emceeing the wedding because
I think so too.
I was going to ask you to emcee my wedding and then I thought, you know what? I reckon Harley's going to rinse me way too hard if he emceed my wedding. So then I got Thornton too and then he rinsed me.
He
anyway.
Rinsed your heart. Yeah. You know what? I probably would not have rinsed you as hard as Thornton did.
Because I
remember watching Thornton. Yeah. I was like, fuck, he's going hard.
Yeah.
And I'm also very grateful not to be asked to emcee because I've done that a couple of times. And it's a horrible way to spend your night at a wedding because you're working.
Yeah.
I did my sister's and I did my little brother's and I did one of my very close mates, which was the best one of those. But at my mates, I was like, I would just like to be
drinking.
And so, and then towards the end of the night, I just went, you know what, there mustn't be anything else on. So I went to one of the rooms in this sort of resort we're in and drank beers and did lines and fucking had a good time. And I came back to the wedding. And I said to the bride, I was like, oh, so when's the cake? She goes, we've already cut it. Oh. I was like, okay, sorry, mate. Yeah. You're not fucking paying me, are you? So,
Years ago, an ex-girlfriend and I set up my mate and his wife. It was one of her friends. We set them up and then we broke up. And then later on, they got married and we had to give speeches at the wedding.
Brutal.
And she's a nice girl, but she took her new man there. I was single. You know, hungover from the night before, and her speech bombed, and I fucking destroyed.
And you had a massive erection.
Absolutely destroyed. Leveled the place.
I didn't know Labradors could eat pepperoni.
I didn't even have to bring out pizza dog. That's how good I was going.
Yeah, maybe I'll get you to MC my wedding just to see what happens.
Yes.
Just morbid curiosity.
I would love that.
Could be anything.
I would run that by your future wife.
You have to debut at least 5 new characters in your speech.
Oh, pass the cat. Pass the cat.
I would love nothing more than to see Nick Capper MC your wedding, Tommy.
Yeah. Cannelloni Penguin. Here we go.
I've done a lot of them. I have MC'd a lot. It's good. I'll give you a tip, though, Tommy. I don't want to get too serious or deep, but if you're going to have a wedding, because when I had mine, all my mates came from interstate on the Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
We had the Bucks on the Wednesday night.
Yes.
Great fun.
Wednesday afternoon. Yep. Thank you very much. Yes.
Then we had drinks.
Started at 4 p.m.
Yeah.
As I was trying to buy tickets to Paul McCartney.
Yep. A horrible afternoon.
Yep.
As you can imagine, Russell, Carl was in his element. We had a buck and bull. Brett did a great job. We had karaoke. We had all this stuff. And Carl was on his phone. Buying tickets at Paul McCartney.
No,
yeah,
he was
really getting loose.
That was at 4 p.m. The guy
operating the mechanical bull turned up on crutches, which is what you always want to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had the Bucks on the Wednesday. Then we had drinks on the Thursday, like a recovery for the Bucks because everyone was in town for it. Then we had another thing on the Friday, like just a little everyone gets together.
Yep.
I got to see everybody there. Had the wedding. Then we had like a recovery on the Sunday, and so I got to see everybody.
Yeah.
If it was just the wedding, I wouldn't have been able to talk to everybody.
Right, to make it a festival.
You can't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And I, on the Sunday night, like what you said, on the Sunday night, I got back and I bawled my eyes out for like 2 hours.
Yeah, okay.
I was like, because it's never going to be that good again.
Yeah,
never.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was
right.
distraught.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
it
a funny
so
old
good.
Moment.
It was really, really good.
I said to my missus as we were driving away, I was like, I feel like I've been taking... sort of like sniffing glue all my life, and I've just done pure heroin.
Yeah, yeah. Right, right.
She was like, yeah, it was a lovely day. You're like, but that's it. I know, it's so weird, isn't it? I can absolutely relate to that. It's just that sense of like, fuck. It was so good that you know that's that.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? And it's the sadness of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my fiance doesn't even. I think she barely even wants to have like a full wedding. She'd be happy to just like elope and do that. Like she doesn't want to have like a big thing where she's like the center of
attention.
Just
want the yeah.
She's like, oh, maybe we do the like go sign the stuff and then just do like a small like kind of informal thing. So the like even she didn't want to have an engagement thing like party. So even the like this idea of I love it. I love the idea of organizing it just a fucking week of parties. But like maybe there's just gonna have to be like. 4 events that I'm at that she's not. You know, I just go into overtime and I just go solo mode.
That's very good.
That's
good.
Sure. But then that makes sense, eh? Like if that's her thing and then just like make the wedding completely about her and then you just have these but you only had a Bucks night. You didn't have like a stag do where you go away or something.
No.
Is that not a thing? Because you had the similar, didn't you, for your...
I just had one night.
Yeah.
But I'm... I haven't had a Bucks night for this engagement. I'm still engaged, not married. We just don't stop making children.
Yeah.
But I like the Bucks retreat, the 4 days away.
I feel like the getaway isn't as common here,
I think maybe it's easier to travel over there than it is here. So.
Yeah, well, but also, Russ had people coming from all these different parts, and it kind of... Vegas kind of made sense.
Yeah. Also, I find that like people in England when I live there or whatever in Australia, you're still in the same country and you got to fly places. Blokes in England, they just fucking fly to like Eastern Europe, do a bunch of shit there, and then forget about it, and then come back, and they're like, "Oh, hey, honey, I'm back." You know, I was
another great impersonation.
There's
definitely.
You know what? I probably could.
How was your stag do, darling? Did you put any eggs on the wagon, darling? Come have a leisurely sit down by the lake.
Svetlanka from Lithuania put an egg in my wagon. I tell you fucking that.
You know what? I probably could get over the line. Destination wedding in Belgrade. Our MC Kappa has to travel there.
Oh man, that'd be great.
By boat, take 8 weeks to get over
great.
In a tuxedo
yep.
with straightened hair and an yep. earring.
Oh man, I can't wait to go back to that
Dick
green
pills
room.
Spilling out of his pocket.
Did you? We better wrap this up. But did you? Yeah. Did you get dick pills as part of the deal?
No, because they got to be prescribed by a doctor.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
And at the very least, you wouldn't be able to say that out loud, even if they did.
Also, are your socks inside out?
Yes.
That's it. That's the end.
Didn't even
that
need
has
to
be the final line.
Didn't even need to check.
That has, imagine that on fucking Parkinson or something like that. That's the final question. It just turns to Billy Connolly and goes, your socks inside out. Yeah, they are. Join us next week.
Not even a sign off, just hard out. Transmission end, test pass.
Sorry, before we leave, Dame Judi Dench, can I ask?
That's good. If you made that, you're like, say hi to your mum for me, or like, who would you turn gay for? Rove's famous interview question. Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask. Are your socks on inside? We're going to start doing that at the end of every episode.
Yeah.
No, but just every time Kappa's on, to be fair, we're never going to get that same response from anyone else.
Are they on inside out? Well, yeah, they're not mine. I
don't want them to find out.
Yeah, he didn't. It was a no look answer.
So it's like you deliberately put them on inside. Yeah.
Some cunt was having a dip after pickleball, and
I had a one night stand with my wife. I stole her socks. We didn't even have sex.
Oh God! All right, we better wrap it up for another week. Kappa, Harley, and Russ, thank you for joining us.
You've got shows to shill.
Yes.
Oh yeah, Harley.
HarleyBreen.com.au. I have plenty of shows on sale at the moment called Sustainably Organic Free Range Comedy.
What cities?
Brisbane, Adelaide, Sydney, Melbourne.
They're all in May.
Canberra. All in May.
They're all in May, including Melbourne at the beautiful Basement Comedy
Club. What a great room, run by an absolute legend, that one.
Oh, legend. Not what I thought was going
to
happen.
Get in quick, too, because I'll say this to your fans, because I would love them in my show. I am selling them after Russell's show, and he's doing these ginormous rooms, and I'm fucking selling quite well. So if you would like to see me and know me, it'd be great to have people that have more context to me than just 20 minutes at Russ.
Yes. Or you could...
20 great minutes, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And of course, you can see Harley Brennan as part of the Coastal Mall International Podcast.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing that as well.
Yeah.
That's already sold, though, isn't it?
Yeah, basically. There's a couple... Oh, there might be a couple left.
Nice.
Yeah. There's room for you, Russ, if you want to pop over.
I have stuff to do, as Harley knows.
Wow, I've seen you improvise on stage.
He genuinely has stuff to do.
Some I've ever seen you stump.
Yeah, yeah.
I have stuff to do.
I'm washing my hair.
It looked like he went, I better come up with something, and then he looked around and went, why bother?
I'm not going, Russ.
Why?
Because I've been there. I hate Coast Maui. Okay. I've been there so many times.
You've been there.
Yeah.
But you can come and get your bank card back finally.
Yeah. It's probably still in the ATM.
Yeah. Yeah. Nick, but you've got a show to shill.
Oh yeah, yeah. I got my show, Meet Oblong. When is this coming out?
Soon.
In Melbourne, Sydney, Newcastle. It's going to be great. I also got heaps of stuff on YouTube where I ride to gigs on my motorbike and my push bike. And I talk about it, and then, you know, the gigs, sometimes I put stuff that usually comedians wouldn't put up, where I bomb, or I fucking tank, and it's actually a lot of fun.
It is. And, I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah.
I am. I love it all. It's fucking great.
Yeah. So
I've got to go viral. I love that bit. It's fucking
great. Yeah.
Fuck, I've got to go viral. Fuck, mate, I rested my egg on the wagon that night.
I think there's nothing more funnier than a bloke being absolutely
how I said it.
Fragile.
You were trying to go viral, and you didn't go viral, but you were desperately trying. Yeah. It was fucking wonderful.
I really like Kappa's comedy a lot more when Russ does it.
So, yeah, I'm doing that. And also, Brett and I have our YouTube show. I think it should be out by this time it comes out. The Wrong Way Round, where we ride motorbikes to Queensland. It's a lot of fun.
Nice.
You saw the premiere screening, Carl. It went great. So, yeah, it's good.
It's
fun.
Cool. Fun watch.
Yeah.
And Russ, I think your tour might have wrapped up by the time
finished.
This
comes out. But, nice to hang around.
Yeah.
But you're on YouTube as well, Russell.
Yeah,
we'll catch you, Russell, on
YouTube. Don't try and say you're on the same platform as Russ, okay?
Oh, dear. Oh, bother, I simply must go viral. It'll be a tremendous bother if I do not go viral.
Just when I thought the comparisons had ended, you're both on YouTube.
I thought about sending Heathrow happy birthday. Things are not going well. I actually thought about the £20,000.
Cap is on Twitter. Happy engagement party, Essendon Airport.
Yeah, imagine that. You know, imagine that. You just send every airport a message saying happy birthday and then an invoice. Yeah. It's like, come on, you cunt.
You elegantly must go to Stansted Airport. It's beautiful.
At Changi, you up?
It's beautiful.
All right, guys. Thanks very much for listening. Olé, olé. And we'll see you next time.
Well, see you, mate.
And they've done it again.
Whoa, Bernie. So, good shit. Great coup. Lovely of Russell Howe to use his time like that. Also equally lovely of Harley Breen and Nick Capita to lend us their way less valuable time, but still appreciated nonetheless.
An episode so jam-packed it required going and buying an extra weird specific cable to be able to get that extra microphone into the Zoom recorder.
Yes. We don't usually have three guests, but for some reason it was that's the way it worked out.
Yep.
And it was great. Great fun. What else? Straight after that, we went, if you listened last week, to the episode where we talked about the live episodes in Adelaide, because we're still there. We're still here in Adelaide.
Yep.
Where we talked about the burger restaurants and the burger group. We then went to, just for lunch after that, we went took Nick Happer to a place called Stacks, which is in the Adelaide burger group. With all my trolling that I've done in there, that's the one thing I've learnt in that group, is that people, A, care way too much about burgers, for starters. But that's, I think, generally regarded as the number one place in Adelaide.
Okay.
And then the guy that owns it was nice to me in the group.
Yep.
So I went, okay, well, let's go there for
lunch. And you posted in there? You took a photo of us?
I haven't put it up yet.
Oh, okay.
No.
But you'll be following up.
Yes. I'll put that in there with a picture of us and saying, basically saying, indoor toilets, 10 out of 10. Serviettes, 10 out of 10.
Yep, great. Well, it's been a big day so far. Basically, everything that you've heard over the last 2 weeks has been recorded within the last 24 hours.
Yes.
So we've been really earning our keep here. And we are half a chance of being able to get onto an earlier flight home if we keep this tight, which I personally would love.
Yes. So we are doing a lot in all this little block because, Tommy, you are going on holidays.
Yep.
And we're trying to jam-pack this into while we're in Adelaide and get weeks ahead and all that sort of stuff. So when you're listening to this, Tommy will be sunning his little bear behind on the fabulous beaches of Tokyo City.
Mm.
That's how things work, don't they?
Yeah, I think it's snowing there today.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I've got that wrong.
You can still get your bottom out and cop a bit of snow on it.
Right.
It's nothing stopping you.
Well, it's quite glary, the sun, sometimes, when the especially with all that white around.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, you perfect. Do that. Great. How is the holiday so far?
I'll be near the end of it by now, actually.
Oh, okay.
But this is the last thing that's going to come out before I get back.
You're well rested?
Yeah, I will have gone to Super Nintendo Land yesterday, when people hear this. Right. So I'll be riding high from that.
Mm.
I'll be getting ready to go back from Osaka to Tokyo to then have a day or so before flying back to beautiful Australia.
What happens in Super Nintendo Land?
There's a little Mario Kart roller coaster. I don't know what else I haven't been before.
Oh, really? So you're going there not knowing what's there?
You know what's crazy? You book your ticket and then you can get like an extra thing on it that's like a...
Hang on, so is it just a like an amusement park?
It's a little section of Universal Studios.
Oh. Okay.
So yeah, there's a couple of roller coasters. And
I thought it was like, not a museum, but, you know, more to do with that side of it. But this is just
purely... It's a theme park. Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's rides and all that kind of stuff. You have to book your ticket and then on top of that you can get a fast pass thing, which all the theme parks do now, where it's like, rather than line up for like potentially an hour and a half, 2 hours to get on a roller coaster, it gives you like a designated, like, you skip the line, you just skip the line.
Yep.
You pay a little bit more.
Yep.
But when you book it, you have to book what times you want to go on these rides.
Mm.
So we've booked this like 4 weeks out
and
you're on the website being asked, now, do you want to go on this roller coaster at 10 a.m. or 2:30 in the afternoon?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, what kind of mood will I be in 4 weeks? You know what I mean? It's like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to want to do when I get there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we've got that all worked out.
So what is it, 10 a.m. or 2:30?
10 a.m. for one thing, and then because you've got to choose like of all the stuff across the park, like what order you want to do it in, what times you want to do everything. Like, yeah, I can't remember what we picked, but yeah, we got it all worked out.
Well, lovely. I'll be going to my own themed land. It's called Thailand. It's very themed about you know, all things Thai.
Mm.
That's why they called it that, Thailand.
Is that the restaurant on Burke Street?
No. That would be good.
Thailand.
Yes, Thailand.
Yeah.
They put their prices up. What a tragedy.
Oh, yeah, I heard.
They had like crazy cheap everything. And I think they just realized it was just absolutely insane.
This is so unsustainable.
Cheap. Yes.
Yeah.
It was so silly how cheap they were.
Yeah.
Now they're just simply cheap instead of insanely cheap.
Yeah.
Which I'm not, you know, I find it's a bit much. I think. Mm. It's not cool. What else? We don't have too much else to report on.
No.
We can just get to
it. We've been recording all day.
Yes.
The well is absolutely dry.
That's it. Luckily, we have some beautiful names to sustain us and really put some coals on the fires of our creativity right now, Tommy, as we do this as quickly but as fairly as possible before we try and get on an earlier plane than we were booked for.
Oh, that'd be great. Landing at like 7:30 instead of like 10:45.
Yes.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's have a go. Thank you very much to Patreon subscribers. This one, first cab off the rank this week. Thank you very much to Seamus Lilly.
Okay.
Seamus, but not Seamus as in, you know, the fancy spelling of it, but like the dumb fucking spelt out version, as in Shaymus.
Okay. Seamus.
Yeah. Instead of like, isn't Seamus usually S-E-A? You know, you have the fancy...
Yeah, I think it's meant to be, yeah.
The fancy Irish spelling.
Mm.
But they're just like, nah, we got to fucking spell this shit out.
Yeah.
I'm sick of people calling me Seamus.
Mm-hmm.
Seamus Lilly. Now, just because it's got Lily at the end, and Seamus is like, I don't know, the way that's spelled out as well, it makes me think that it's a lady, even though all the evidence says that it's a man. Seamus is a male name, right?
I have to say, I'm really starting to feel like it was a huge mistake to inhale a big burger and chips right before having another segment of recording to do.
Yeah.
Do you feel that? Like when you have you're a light dinner man. You're a big lunch man.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like a big lunch just puts me on my fucking ass.
No, you know what
I'm feeling nine eyes at the moment.
I am. I'm a big eater. For lunch, late lunch, because that's what I'm breaking my fast. My problem is I eat fucking crazy amounts for lunch and then feel sick at night.
Yeah, okay.
But not now.
Yeah.
That was just a decent meal then.
Yeah, okay.
Usually I'm trying to retrain myself like a fucking dog or a goldfish, because I'll not eat for 18 hours or something, and then, which you've just done a massive fast, accidental whatever it is. But I'll eat a main meal and then go, and my body hasn't realized what's happened yet. And it's still going, where's that fucking food? And so I'll eat another meal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then half an hour later it goes, oh, we get it.
That trick, yeah, that thing they tell you where it's like a meal should take you this long to eat because your brain takes time to catch up.
Right. Yeah. I think it's, I know I've got to trick myself. I've got to go, right, I know you want another meal. Just wait half an hour, then see how you feel.
Yeah.
And lately I've been doing that a bit more and the body's like, yeah, what the fuck were you thinking 25 minutes ago?
Especially if you like at a restaurant, you order a bit more, and then by the time it, like, you order it, and then like 5 minutes later, you're like, uh oh, yeah, I actually do not want this at all.
Yes,
you just see the person carrying it out. You're like, oh god, I can't do it.
Yeah,
I can't do this.
Yes, Seamus Lilly. I'm gonna put it out there. It is a man.
I think so. Yeah, I've never heard of Seamus as a lady name.
I don't know. It just seems like the feminine way of spelling it. That's all. And then the Lily has unnecessarily swayed me that way, which makes no sense because Lily's the surname, not the fucking first name.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I get you.
But this might be, despite the spelling being slightly different, I'm assuming this is Chris's brother.
This is the name equivalent of Bugs Bunny putting on a wig and lipstick.
Yeah.
But Irish comedian known for his beautiful character work.
His version of blackface, which is just slightly less white than everyone else in Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is this just a new character? He's doing four-leaf clover face.
He's like, you know what? I got in trouble for everything else. I don't think you can get in trouble for making fun of the Irish.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I'll do that.
Yep. And I'll just use my
yeah.
surname.
I've sort of given up.
This character is one of my Irish relatives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like me doing the equivalent of a Dame Edna character. It's just me. My name's
Dame Chandler.
Mrs. Carl Chandler. Mrs. Carl Chandler, that's me.
It's either Seamus Lily or Chris O'Lilly.
Mrs. Carl Chandler.
That's not bad. That's a good one for the worst of Melbourne comedy.
Oh, yeah,
Mrs.
yeah.
Mrs. Carl Chandler.
Yeah, yeah. Doing a female parody of myself and the audience members not knowing what the fucking base character was.
Yep.
Yeah, get it? I'm a girl instead of what I was before. Yeah. Are you?
What if instead of seeing duck sandwich at a cafe, I saw it at the nail salon?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then the sandwich had frilly toothpicks in them.
Yeah,
Wouldn't that be
exactly,
funny? I was drinking a Chardonnay with the duck sandwich.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
Well, thank you, Seamus.
Yeah, thanks, Seamus. You are. He's also... This is the guy. I have no idea what this is, but on the Facebook profile, it says... Owner at Oath for Suicide.
Ooh.
So that sounds nice.
Okay, yeah.
I got no idea what that is, but I'm... here we go. We make oaths to do outrageous sporting marathons to raise money for advocacy in mental health.
Mm-hmm.
We make oaths to do outrageous sporting marathons. I wonder what an outrageous sporting marathon is.
Yeah.
I mean, sporting is... You don't probably need that in there for marathons, I guess. All marathons are fairly sporting.
Yeah.
Oh, movie marathons aren't. They're the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, let us know what your most outrageous sporting marathon is, Seamus.
Yeah. Thanks, Seamus.
I'd love to know. Thanks, Seamus. And thank you for contributing money and lessening our likelihood of suicide. Mm. Slightly. Thank you very much to Patreon subscriber Jonathan Davies.
Jonathan Davies.
Yeah.
We've done a pretty outrageous marathon today, just thinking about
yeah?
it.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
A marathon of content.
Yes.
That's as outrageous as it gets. Some of the stuff we say, some of the stuff we come up with.
It fills me with rage.
Some of the riffs we had on those Patreon bonus eps coming up at the end of this week.
It's pretty hot. Look, I know some of you just go straight to talking dum-dum. And this is the favourite part of your week. But, you know, I would say go back, listen to what we've done before this, because I thought it was really funny.
The actual episode was really funny,
It was really funny, yeah. So I know a lot of you just like this bit, but take a chance.
Yeah.
Rewind.
Yeah.
Be kind.
You might discover someone new. You might discover your new favourite comedian.
Yes. But Jonathan Davies, our new favourite Patreon subscriber, can't believe that the... that the lead singer of Korn has subscribed and spelled his name slightly wrong.
How do you...
That's awesome.
It's crazy that you know who that man's name.
Why?
I just would not... I don't know.
I'm no fan of Korn, but that's right in your... That's in my wheelhouse of, I think, the timeline of how people usually are knowledgeable about music. Like
Korn are one of those bands, though, where I feel like there's not... I don't know. I always assume that they're someone who... anyone outside of fans doesn't know who the people in the band are.
No. So they would have been around when I was 20 to 25, when you've got the time and the patience and the interest in learning about stuff in music, whereas now, like, new bands come out, I don't give a fuck.
Mm.
Not in a bad way, but life moves on and you have other priorities.
Mm.
So back then, I'm like... I'm a fucking vacuum for all that sort of stuff. It's like, great, awesome. Oh, yeah, and what's the... You know, I think I know some of the other fucking members of the band. Like, I know names of members of Marilyn Manson's band. I've got no interest in their music, but I know some of the names of the bands because I used to like reading music magazines
and all that
sort of stuff.
Go to Sanity, pull out the little booklet,
leaf
through the credits.
Oh, I mean, even the street press.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't happen as much these days, but the street press used to be a fucking great old read.
Mm.
And now I've got to do things like Parent
or
Work. Mm. So
or go to Thailand.
Yes. And so there's not as much time to learn that fucking Twiggy Ramirez plays an instrument in Marilyn Manson.
Oh, yeah.
So, Jonathan Davies is the lead singer. He's gone a bit the way of Robert Smith, lead singer of The Cure.
Mm-hmm.
As in, they're in their peaks, they're in their, you know, early to mid-20s, and they're wearing a lot of makeup, and they're looking all right, and then all of them keep doing that, except they become fat and 50.
And then
it's like, oh, this is
bad. Hair. Yeah.
This looks bad.
Yeah.
Big, puffy, chunky dudes that are still playing with makeup like they're fucking 16.
It's worth thinking about if you're starting a band when you're young. What's the aesthetic going to be when we're older?
Yeah.
How are we going to age gracefully? Like, are we going to draw a line in the sand where we go, at a certain era, we're getting rid of the makeup, we're getting rid of all that shit, and we're just going to be old guys in comfortable clothes?
Yeah.
And we do that with some dignity? Or are we going to just, like, get all of us get a ton of work done, Botox, all of it, to just maintain this look? What do? You got to, you know, you got to think about these things.
Yeah. I get it, because, like, I mean, without the makeup, what do you got left with some of these chumps? But
yeah,
it does not, and I would like to think even they admit, it's not an amazing look.
No.
It looks, it just looks a bit weird.
Yeah.
But, hey, Kiss are getting away with it.
Yeah, that's
they
true.
Actually look,
that's true.
Because that makeup is doing what makeup should. It's like anti-aging.
Hiding them, yeah, totally.
Because once you got the makeup on, it's like, oh, they don't look 70 anymore. They just look fucking idiot clowns like they have for 40 years.
Oh, man, but I mean, having done it for as long as they have and having to, like, still be factoring in the fucking however long it is to sit in the chair and get that done, like,
I'd be,
God.
I'm surprised I haven't heard more about from them about, this is the consequence of wearing makeup every day for 50 years. Our face is fucked. Our skin is fucked.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder if they've reached a point where they had to do like a really strict skin regime to start counteracting that.
Yeah, I reckon. Well, Jonathan Davies, that's you.
Yeah.
You put on your podcast listening makeup every day to listen to us, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah,
it's good for you to dress up for the podcast.
Thanks, Mr. Cornhole.
thanks, you little freak on a leash.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Korn song?
I don't have one. I dislike them all equally.
Yeah, I reckon that stuff hit me at the right. Yeah, man, that would have been fuck. I reckon age 20 or something like that. So it's like stuff I don't really like, but it's around the stuff I did like, sort of.
Oh, yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yep. Yep.
And I remember they were one of the first ones, or maybe the only one, or whatever it was, to start incorporating sporting sort of stuff into cool alternative clothes. And
oh, yeah.
Getting Adidas stuff involved. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. I don't mind this. This is all right.
No, I hated all that stuff of that era.
Yeah.
Like, all of that. Anything like, yeah. I like harder music now, but, like, that era, I hated all of it.
Yeah.
Even now when people have, like, I don't even know if it's ironic or what it is, but, like, people go, oh, yeah, these couple of Limp Bizkit songs are great. I'm like, I hated all of it then.
Yeah.
I hate it now.
Did you?
Not for me.
Was it partly because of why I remember not very much hating Guns N' Roses, whereas I can listen to them now and go, oh, those pretty good songs or whatever it is. I'm not, you know, huge. I don't really care one way or the other, but it was definitely influenced over the people who liked Guns N' Roses back then and just me going, I don't like them, so I don't like you.
No, it wasn't so much that. It was just, I like rock music now, but I didn't for a very long time. Like, you know, my favorite band of that era was Jamiroquai, and then I was really into, like, all of that, like, stuff that had influenced them, like any kind of, like, funk, soul, all of that, like, more mellow, kind vibe kind of stuff I was, like, way more into. I just like those, like, aggressive, like, harsh tones of, like, that other, of, like, yeah, the big rock music of the time. I just never really got into it.
Yeah.
I just, like, yeah, didn't, wasn't really into the vibe. And then came around on it, but, yeah, I just had no interest in anything that was, like, outside of this one very specific palette.
You didn't. You just, you weren't, despite you being, you know, feeling ostracized from society and really wanting to fucking kill your teachers and stuff.
Yeah.
Despite the fact you had the same, you know, the same sort of background and the same view on life and society.
Yeah.
You just didn't like the music.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Exactly. I've always considered myself very twisted.
Yeah.
I remember reading, there was like this compilation album that got put out that was like all this stuff that Jamiroquai had curated of, yeah, old funk stuff that was awesome. And I remember reading an interview with JK where he was like, yeah, one of my favorite bands is AC/DC. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like so confused by that.
Yeah.
Of like, but what? Oh, what?
Yeah.
I felt like betrayed.
Yeah.
Which of course, yeah, someone can have like influences outside of what they're, you know, churning out. But I was just like, this makes no sense to me.
Yeah. As a kid, that makes no sense. But now it's like, it's like saying to us, yeah, well, you guys only listen to two white guys making up fucking dog shit on podcasts, yeah? Not really. No, this is just our job.
Yeah. You guys must only like bad comedy.
Well, thanks.
Thanks, Korn.
Thanks, thanks, Jono. Thank you very much to Patreon subscriber, Aaron Byrne. Aaron Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E, the sophisticated version of Byrne for a surname. Yeah.
Could be a relation of the talking head himself.
It could be. David Byrne.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. It's hitting me.
What are you going to do on the flight? I was thinking I'd do some work or watch a movie, but I genuinely think I might just sleep. I'm so tired.
I would love to do that.
I think I'm just going to try and go to sleep.
I'll close my eyes.
A little, yeah.
Yeah. There's not too much else I can do without Wi-Fi. So I don't think there'll be too much to do.
Yeah.
A little bit of paperwork maybe, but I think...
Paperwork?
Yeah. Admin.
Sign some contracts.
Admin. Yeah. Yeah, not too much. It's, well, the most beautiful flight in Australia. Adelaide to Melbourne or Melbourne to Adelaide. You're up in the air and all of a sudden you're down.
Oh, yeah. That's life, baby.
Yeah. Well, that's a roller coaster.
That's like us. We started recording this morning. We were full of vim and vigor and now we're down.
It's no,
the wheels
mate,
are up.
I'm not.
The wheels
I'm not
are up.
Doing this, Tommy.
Tray tables are
I'm
stowed.
Up. I'm up. I hate the idea of people listening to us complain again about we're tired, so I'm not
well,
doing
no,
it.
I'm trying not to complain. I'm just trying to be factual. Yes. I'm not saying, oh God, I have to do this.
Yes.
I'm just wanting like full disclosure. If we're sounding a little all over the place,
I'm not.
That's just where we're at.
I'm up, baby.
I think the aircon in this room does not work as well. So it's
really?
Not like it's a little stuffy.
I think it works okay.
Okay.
It's like I said, God. I mean, I wish you'd seen. I'm enjoying being in this room compared to the fucking hotel room I had. It is bad. And I stayed in the same fucking hotel last week and I couldn't change my hotel after staying there last week. So I was like, oh, fucking hell.
As soon as you get a hotel room that's got a couch in it, you feel like a millionaire. Having somewhere where you can sit that's not on the bed, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm basically in a house.
Yeah.
I'm at home. I've got all the creature comforts.
Yeah. Fuck, you've brought a lot of stuff to Adelaide for one night.
Well, I've only got that one suitcase and I had to have all the recording gear in there.
Yeah.
And then at that point it's like, well, I may as well just put a few extra clothes in there than I need.
I may as
well just fill up the suitcase for the hell of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I bought like three more shirts than what I needed.
Right.
Just, I don't know. Maybe I'll get there and I'll feel like wearing different clothes. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is like, chucking stuff in for the hell of it.
Yeah. I'm the opposite. Only carry on shit. So to be honest, I did bring a big change of wardrobe. I brought 15 Dum Dum Club t-shirts.
Yeah.
So, like, if this morning I could have felt like wearing number 1 or number 8 or number 13 Dum Dum Club shirt.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to really, be smart with packing for this Japan trip because it's pretty cold over there, which immediately means like everything you know you're bringing like jackets and stuff, which immediately just takes up so much room.
Mm.
Like if you want, and especially for 2 weeks, like need a few changes, but going to have to really be smart with the amount of space I'm taking up.
Yeah. If you're packing that heavy for Adelaide, you're going to need some sort of fucking Kardashian-shaped, I don't know what, to fucking bring to over there.
Yeah, exactly.
Aaron Byrne. I like both names. I like the combination.
Yep.
There's no higher compliment I can pay.
Yeah.
Particularly today.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
only because I can't think of a compliment.
Yeah. I know, that's it. My brain has just legitimately stopped working. Again, this isn't a complaint.
Yes.
This is just what's happened.
This is life.
My brain has just logged off. Yeah.
Thanks, Aaron Byrne.
Thanks, Aaron Byrne.
But
see, this is what's great about having done a great episode with a great guest.
Yeah.
Who cares what happens now?
Yeah. I feel like we overdid it then. You got an 11 out of 10 episode.
Yeah.
And now, instead of, you're getting one mark off this episode, instead of the 5 out of 10 we usually give you at Talking Dum Dum, it's 4 out of 10.
You got one extra guest than you normally get.
Yes.
So
there you go.
You've gotten the same amount of comedy overall across this whole episode.
I would have said.
But just you had to funnel some resources out of this bit.
Yeah, instead of having an extra guest on the main app, this bit could have done with an extra guest to help us over the line with this bit.
I tried. Yeah. I really wanted to get someone else to come and do one of these with us, but no one could.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Aaron Byrne.
Thank you, Aaron Byrne.
Thank you very much to Patreon subscriber, Dylan McCabe.
Dylan McCabe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, what is... thank you, Dylan. There's a lot... You know what? I reckon I said this last time. So many Dylans have subscribed to this show over the years.
Yeah.
It's such a popular name. But... unlike last week when Penny subscribed, the first ever Penny. Yeah, yeah. What's the timing wise for the plane, Tommy? How's it looking, do you reckon?
I think we're looking okay. I think we can still do it. You've only got to be there half an hour before. You can still drop bags half an hour before the flight takes off.
So here, so the plan is at the moment is that we are booked on a much later flight.
Yep.
And you're thinking if we can get this done, we'll race out there, get on an earlier flight. What, for anyone that hasn't done this before, what is the protocol? You go up to the desk and go, listen, I'm booked in for this. Can you just put me on a different plane?
You can get, well, you can log in and do it through the app.
Oh, can you?
Which is what I'd be doing. Oh. Yeah. I think, so look, this next flight, it's 20 to 5 now. The earlier flight that I was looking at is at 5:45.
Mm.
So in just over an hour.
Right.
It's like a 15-ish minute drive to the airport.
Yeah.
I think we can maybe do it.
Okay.
Maybe.
Oh, fuck. Now that you're saying that, that sounds very tight.
It's very tight.
Yeah.
Look, if I was just booked on that flight,
yes,
and I had to make it,
yep,
I'd be really stressing out.
Yeah.
But if it's like if we just head out there and we can keep an eye on how things are going and maybe do it on the fly,
yep,
like change it on the fly,
right,
maybe we'll get away with that.
Okay. Well, in that case... I reckon we give Dylan McCabe about one more minute. So, sorry, Dylan.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
And look, we can just check in with Dylan on the Patreon and let him know if we made that earlier flight and made it home earlier. We can say, look, Dylan, it's all because of you and your selfless receiving of a shorter Patreon read that we made at home earlier.
Let's do it shorter, but let's pack it. Let's give, I'm setting the timer.
Yep.
Let's go as hard but as fast as we can. For 1 minute,
okay.
on the name Dylan McCabe.
Oh,
I'm starting
Jesus.
It. And the stopwatch is starting now.
Okay, a guy called Dylan was at my friend's school, and he was a real weird guy. And then he went on a date with my friend, and we were like, how was the date with Dylan? And she said, yeah, midway through the movie, he like took my hand and took one of my fingers and started sucking on it and looking at me suggestively as if to go like, how about you do this later on?
Yeah.
An insane move.
What movie?
I can't remember.
Fuck. That would be good.
When the rest of the story is that good.
Yeah, I know.
As if the movie is hanging around in my... You know, it would have been some just shit rom-com of the time of
well, that's what,
2002 or whatever.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm hoping of. I'm hoping for it's like, oh, it's Police Academy 5 and it's like, stop sucking on my finger when there's a man going up a horse's ass.
It would have been something of that nature.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What would be an appropriate movie to suck on someone's finger?
A porno.
Yeah, nice.
You bring your date to a porno theatre. And then you start, and then you're looking at a dick going into an ass on screen, and then seductively looking at your date and going,
"Hey,
how about?"
Well, so that's my anytime I hear the name Dylan, I just always am going to think of that.
Yeah, sucking on
that
fingers.
That weird guy who sucked on my friend's finger.
There you go.
That's
1 minute and 10 seconds right there.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's a
thanks,
nice
Dylan.
Anecdote that you've inspired. So that's what, 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's just do one more because we've got to race off. Let's just give 1 minute.
Cool.
1 minute.
Oh, 1 minute.
Yeah, yeah.
To this next name.
To this next name.
Okay.
See if there's enough in this next name to 1 minute. Right, here we go. Thank you very much to Patreon subscriber, Mr. Comedy.
Mr. Comedy.
And it starts now.
Okay. Well, Comedy, that's pretty funny to have the surname Comedy.
Yeah, I guess
given
so.
Given everything.
I guess so.
Is there a name or the name's just Mr.?
Mr., it says.
Well, that's
here.
Also funny.
I can just go off this. Mr. as a first name is actually quite a good first name.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, it's really funny.
If I had a son called him Mr. Chandler.
Yeah.
That is real. Have we done that before?
But then being trans and being Mrs. Mr. Chandler.
Right. That would be really good if there was like mail directed to your house and it's like, this is for Mr. Chandler. Oh, that's my 3-year-old. That'll be a birthday card from my mum.
When you say Mr. Chandler, is it like the title or like the name is Mr.?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that is just one of those great funny ideas that then fucks your life and your kids' life forever.
Sorry, just looking at the timer. Oh, 69 minutes. Wow, we got carried away.
Wow.
Well, thanks, Mr. Comedy.
Yep.
Thanks, everyone who supports the show. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time.
See you, mates.